Welcome to Brett David Podcast in part two of this second message in the series, Because He Lives, the aftermath of Jesus' resurrection. Today, we are talking about what the Bible says about what I would call a resurrection revolution. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead changes everything in your life. We've talked about some of those radical changes in part one. Now, let's finish this passage together. Here's Pastor Tim.
Number four, Jesus' resurrection gives me a new purpose. A new purpose. Look at the end of verse number 8. He says, or kind of there in the middle, he says, for whom? Who's he talking about? He's talking about Christ, right? He's just said, I want to know Jesus, my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. That's one reason he's able to count these things loss. He's already suffered loss. If you've never really suffered loss, then it's hard for you to give up anything that you have. But when you recognize that God can take away certain things in your life, then it's easier to hand over everything to him. Paul says, I've already lost a lot. But listen, because of that, he says, I've suffered the loss of all things for him. And I count them as rubbish that I may, look at this, that I may gain Christ. All right, hold on here for a second. Because somebody now is going to look at that and they're going to say, okay, so what you're saying is to become a Christian, I have to lose everything, right? If in order to become a Christian, I have to lose everything and then I can gain him. That's not what he's saying, is he? He's talking about fullness. He's talking about being filled with Christ, being filled with his Spirit, that I might have him, that he might have me, that I might gain Christ. It takes this new purpose. I'm not living for myself. I'm not living for my job. I am living for Christ. I am in him and he is in me. And then he says this, and I want to be found in him. I want to be found in him. I want other people to look at me and see Christ. When I speak, I want them to hear what Jesus would say. When I act, I want them to see what Jesus would do. The parts of me that they can't see, I want them to know somehow instinctively maybe that I am motivated by obedience to Christ. I want them to know somehow that my attitude reflects that of Christ. This becomes my purpose. That it's Him who is in me and it's Him who is showing up on the outside of me, that he himself may be found in me. If you take an orange and you put it in one of those little squeezes, you know, that little jar that's got the knob that sticks up, you put that orange on there and you start squeezing it, and you squeeze that orange, has motor oil ever come out? If it is, you need to go back to the grocery store. When you put that on there, does blood come out? Does lemon juice come out? No. What comes out is orange juice, right? Why? Because that's what's in there. When you're putting a squeeze, whatever's on the inside is what's going to come out. If you have a problem with flying off the handle, if you have a problem with cursing, if you have a problem in your attitude, let me tell you something. The problem is not your vocabulary. The problem is not your reaction. The problem really isn't your attitude. What's the problem? The problem is your heart. The problem is the inside. Because whatever's in there is what's coming out. Right? When I was in Athens, I met this man at Prince Avenue that owned a sign company. And so I started working for him, and we made sandblasted redwood signs. And he picked up a project from another local business, and we were building these blocks. They were going to use them for jigs on some project that they had. And so basically it was three pieces of wood that sort of made this arch. And so he had taught me how to kind of hold all of these with one hand and, you know, hopefully one strike with a hammer here, one strike with a hammer here, and you're done, right? So I struck the hammer, but it didn't go right here, it went right here. And when I stuck that finger in my mouth and hopped around a little bit, my boss came to me and said, "Well, you must be a Christian." He said, "You didn't say not one curse word." And I thought, that's because that's not what's in there. Whatever's on the inside always shows up on the outside. So I've got a new purpose. If that kind of stuff is in me, I want that stuff out of me. And I want it to be replaced. Look at verse number 9. Let's finish it. He says, "I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness." I don't want people to look at me and see my righteousness. I want Jesus to be found in me. I want them to see His righteousness. I don't want them to see how good I can be. I don't want them to see the best version of myself, as they say. Best version of myself is still corrupt. I want them to see Jesus. I want them to see His righteousness. He says, "My righteousness is from the law. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God," where does it come? It comes by faith. My purpose is to gain Christ, to know the excellence of His knowledge, to be found in Him. And that happens by living a life of faith. That's your purpose. Number 5. Jesus' resurrection gives me a new productivity. A new productivity. So once He finishes that, what an amazing thing. You know, amazing verses. "Indeed, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him." This becomes my productivity. That I might know Him. Why do I gain this new perspective on life? Why do I begin to look at life and look at things, look at circumstances, look at opportunities differently? Because I have a new foundation. It's a new foundation in my life, which is Christ. He gives me then a new purpose. And if I'm working from a new foundation, with a new purpose in mind, it means that what I'm producing is different. You know, when I worked in a grocery store, we had red delicious apples. We had golden delicious apples. We had Granny Smith apples. And then we had some kind of apple. I don't even know what it was called because it wasn't very good anyway. All right? In the grocery store, I think those are the only four kind of apples that we ever sold. Farmers get creative, though, don't they? They start mixing all kind of stuff together. You get those Gala apples, whew, that's good. Those Honey Crisp apples, they're not good for you, but they're good to you. You know, I mean, there's all kind of stuff that's out there. There's a new productivity. There's brand new things that I am able to produce. Because I am in Christ. And this becomes the first one. That I might know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. What's the best thing that you can do to get to know Jesus? It's to spend time in this book every day. Every day, read your Bible. Every day, spend time in prayer to Him. It's communication. Through His Word, He's speaking to you. Through your prayers, you're speaking to Him. With your heart, you listen to Him. You tell Him the things that you struggle with. You tell Him the things that you want. You tell Him the things that you need. You just talk to Him. And through all of that, you get to know Him, His purposes, and His ways of working. Here's the productivity. There are five of them. Number one, that I may know Him. Number two, and that I may know the power of His resurrection. Because Jesus is alive, I want to know that same power. Now, I know one of these days I'll have that power. One of these days in glory, in eternity, I will have that very same kind of power. But now I want to see it working through me. I want to see it at work in circumstances. I want to be able to, in getting to know Him, offering Him those prayers and see Him answering prayers. Does God answer your prayers? I mean, you'd say, yes, He answers my prayers. He usually says no. If you're praying according to His will, you ought to be hearing more yeses and seeing the results of those things. The power of His resurrection is His power to intervene in this life. And He can do that. Number one, that I may know Him. Number two, that I may know the power of His resurrection. Number three, that I may know the fellowship of His sufferings. The koinonia fellowship. Going through it together. A togetherness. A sharedness. I don't know if you've ever seen that old movie, Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. Powerful movie. It's one of those where you go to the movie and you feel guilty for eating popcorn, you know? And when it's over with, nobody wants to move. Nobody even wants to speak. It's certainly not like some movie where you go and they clap. It is horrendous to see the things that He suffered. And to recognize that He suffered those things because of me. It's my sin that gave Him those lashes. It's my sin that gave Him the nails. It's my sin for which He gave up His spirit. Those things that Jesus suffered on the cross, those things that He suffered in His ministry, of mockings and ridiculing and traps. Paul says, I'm in that. I'm in it. My goal in life is to know Him, to gain Him, to serve Him. Why is it that we as Americans feel like then if I follow Christ, that I won't have suffering? To know Him is to know suffering. This life is filled with suffering. But the reason for your suffering makes all the difference in the world. Paul says, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings, not just something I've brought on myself. Where are we? Number four. He says, I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. And I want to, boy, this is to be conformed to His death. I want to be conformed to His death. Is Paul talking about his own demise? You know, Peter's going to be, at least tradition says, that Peter's going to be crucified and crucified upside down. Paul's not going to be crucified. He's going to be beheaded. So it's not a conforming that I have to die the same way that Jesus dies. And he's not even talking about his physical death that's to come, is he? Being conformed to his death is something that I'm conformed to now. to take all of those things and make them loss. What's he really saying? He says, I'm putting them to death. This resume that somebody wants to hold over me and say, look, this is why you should be applauded. He said, I put that to death. Doesn't have any more power. Doesn't have any more effect. But it's not just the good things, it's the bad things. All of my sins, what? They're put to death. He said to those Galatians, I mentioned this verse to you a moment ago, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. Being conformed to his death. And then in verse number 11, this is his ultimate. He says, and if by any means, whatever is necessary, this is ultimate, I may attain or I may arrive to the resurrection from the dead. That one of these days, when my body is put in the ground, I'm looking forward to the day when the body is reunited with the spirit. And that glorified body that we talked about last week. The resurrection that is to come. Paul says, I want to be there for it. I'm living everything today in light of that day. You know, there are a whole block of Christians who say, well, I'm saved and I know it. I know when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. So since I'm going to be in heaven for now, for then, I'm going to live in hell now. I'm going to raise it. I'm going to live however I want to live. That's not preparing yourself for heaven. It's not preparing that glorified body to be reunited. It's not preparing to give him glory at the capacity with which you're able now even to give him glory. It's a new productivity. And that is to attain to the resurrection from the dead yourself. All right, number 6. Jesus' resurrection gives me a new practice. See, it's one thing to talk about all of these things and talk about them in ideological terms or talk about them in terms of want to. We need to talk about them in terms of to do. What am I to do? How does Jesus' resurrection and my resurrection that is to come, which is based on Jesus' resurrection, how does that impact today? All right. Look, if you will, in verse number 12. He says, not that I have already attained or already arrived or already obtained. He says, I'm not already raised from the dead. He's not saying I'm not perfect. He says, I'm not already perfected. But here we go. This is what you need in your practice. But I press on. I press on. I keep moving forward. I keep moving forward with Christ. Listen, in your Christian life, you're either growing or you're backsliding. Neither one. It's black and white. It's yes or no. You're growing or you're backsliding. Somebody described it one time as trying to ride a bicycle without brakes up a hill. So you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. What's Paul say? I want to press on. Press is one of those words that gives emphasis, that gives agony, that gives attempt, that gives trying. I am struggling to keep moving forward. No matter what life says, no matter what life throws at me, I press on. Press on, people. The struggle is worth it. The attempts are worth it. The trying is worth it. The agony is worth it. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I wish you could see my Bible. You can already probably kind of tell this particular page, it doesn't really have an edge to it anymore. These verses, they're so underlined. But this phrase is underlined, double underlined, and colored in. Anything I can do to bring my eye to this verse. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. When I think about Paul writing this, I think about when Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, up on his horse, riding on his way to persecute those Christians. And the Bible says that there was a blinding light that knocked him, literally knocked him off his high horse, you know, and struck him blind. And he heard the voice of Jesus. I mean, when Paul says, Jesus has laid hold of me, that's exactly what I think of. But when I think about my own life, when I became a believer, Jesus laid hold of me. I wasn't running to him. I was running from him. I didn't grab a hold of him. He grabbed a hold of me. He snatched me from sin and the grave. He plucked me from the miry clay. He laid hold of me. And this verse tells me that he laid hold of me for a reason and for a purpose. Now my practice is to follow him in that purpose. Why did he ever save me? That should be the guide of why I live. Why did he save you? Why did he lay hold of you? Why did he save you and maybe not somebody else that you know? He's got a plan for your life. If you would follow it, you would be happier and holier than you would be in any other way. Love that phrase. Quickly, look at these last two verses. Brethren, he's talking to us now, right? He's talking about our practice. He said, I want to lay hold of that for which he's laid hold of me. Now, brethren, he looks at me, he looks at you. And he says this personally to you. I don't count myself to have apprehended or to have arrived. But one thing I do count. Forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, that stuff in your past, let it go. Let it go. If Jesus has forgiven you, he's not bringing it back up. You stop bringing it back up. Forgetting that stuff that is behind and doing what instead? And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press, there's your word again, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And what is that? It is Christ-likeness. That's your new practice. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus have you do? What's he calling on you to do? What has he empowered you and equipped you to do? There's his will right there. Now, like Nike would say, it's time to just do it. Do it. Do it. Don't talk about it. Don't wish about it. Don't hope about it. Those things that you know that God has called you to do, do it for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for laying hold of me. Thank you for laying hold of every person in this room that you've laid a hold of in the past, those maybe that you have laid hold of today. Help us to fulfill those things for which you have saved us. Bless us in these moments as we yield to you. Give us direction. Give us power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stand with me where you are.
Pastor Tim, thanks you for joining us here today on Britt David Podcast. And he would like to invite you to check out our past messages here in our podcast library. Pastor Tim would love to connect and share with you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That address is churchoffice@brittdavid.org. We are located at 2801 West Britt David Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31909. Thanks again for joining us here on Britt David Podcast.